millions of women in business that are crushing it. And I mean, seriously, crushing it. Some who you know and many who you've never even heard of. They're going to share how they did it so you can figure out how you can do it too. But here's the deal. It's not just about sales and selling. So I'm going to be bringing you the woo too. Get ready, get set, because it's almost go time for Women Crush Wednesday. Hello, hello. I am your host of today's episode. I am Jen Gittimer, and today our episode is Women Crush Wednesday. I am so excited because one of my friends, one of my business friends is on the show today, and she's freaking phenomenal. Her name's Jacqueline DiGregorio, and she is obsessed with helping women build successful businesses so they can positively impact their family, community, and the world. That's pretty deep, you guys. But here's the thing. If you're a man, do not tune out, because I guarantee you, everything Jacqueline talks about, you can apply to your world, your sales world, your business world too. All right, here we go. Jacqueline's going to tell you how to stop getting in your own way. And in the meantime, I'll get out of the way. Take a listen. What's up, people? I am so glad you're here, because today I am joined by a very special friend, Jacqueline DiGregorio. Did I say it right?
You did.
Ah, yes. Amazing. Okay. I'm really good at her first name, you guys, but the last name, I keep messing up. But regardless, she's awesome. You are going to love her. We're pre-recording for the podcast for Woman Crush Wednesday, and I thought, why not do it on Facebook Live so you can get to meet Jacqueline, see her, feel her amazing spirit, her amazing energy, her amazing vibe, and get to know her in case you're here watching, avoiding work or whatever it is you're doing on Facebook at 1 o'clock on a Monday. If you're watching the replay, make sure you tell me hashtag replay, but let me go ahead and introduce you, and then we'll get into it, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. All right, you guys, Jacqueline is a business coach, speaker, and she's a best-selling author. As founder of Clarity and Action Consulting, Jacqueline helps women build successful businesses so they can positively impact their family, their community, and the world. Now get this, at age 21, Jacqueline started her first business from her dorm room at Georgetown University. She's been featured by Forbes, Elite Daily, Bustle, and Washington Business Journal, and her book's been featured on Good Morning Washington. This is amazing. You started a business from your dorm room. Do tell.
Well, it was a messy time, as most entrepreneurs, if anyone watching this is an entrepreneur, probably most of you are listening. You know what it's like when you first start. You really don't know anything. All I know is that I did not like working in corporate America. I did a summer internship, a college internship, and I was like, wow, this is what the rest of my life is going to be like? No way. And I decided that I wanted to start a business, didn't really know what, didn't really know how, but I kind of just started. And I think that simple act of taking the first step, I remember the first thing I did was I'm going to form an LLC, and I totally did it a silly way, and I wasted money, and I didn't do anything right, but I started and I took a step, and then that got me to all the other steps.
It's interesting because so many people are just scared to start, and that they don't take the action. But how much did you learn along the way, even though it was messy?
Yeah, I mean, that is the only reason that I'm able to be here today and help so many people today, is because it was messy, because of all the failures, because of all the learnings. And I think people have this misconception that success is over here and failure is over here, and they're not connected, when in reality, failure is the only way you learn, and failure is a part of the process. And until you are so open to failure and take it like a champ, find gratitude in it. Like, thank you for this failure. Like, I learned these lessons. I'm ready to apply them. Like, yes. And like, have that unbeatable attitude, then like, you'll never achieve your biggest goals. So I think it's like letting go of the fear of it by like welcoming it in a sense.
How did you do that? You were 21 years old. And were you just like, you know, when you don't know something that like, you don't know what you don't know?
Totally. Well, I definitely didn't know what I didn't know. I thought it was going to be way easier. I've heard it said before that like, if you knew how hard entrepreneurship was going to be, you probably wouldn't do it. but I didn't have that attitude in the beginning. And it's hilarious because my fiance Richie has this story he likes to tell people that one day when they interview him on Good Morning America about me, which is the best part because like it's an interview with him and they're talking about me. He's going to tell them about like my first big failure, which was a product I was creating and I was trying to order from a factory and one factory, the first factory I called, told me like, we can't make this. And I was like devastated. Like I cried for days and he talks about this because he feels like, wow, that's where you started. And like when most people start, that's how they are. Like their emotional intelligence is low, their personal growth, they probably haven't really embarked much on it, if at all. Mm-hmm. Their stones, and it sucks and it's hard and failures hit you really hard and they take you down and you lie on the ground for a while before you can get up. But then like each time gets a little easier and you start to like build that muscle. And now like the worst thing ever will happen. We'll totally flop on something. I have employees that I need to pay, like real problems. And I'm like, oh, it's fine. We'll find a way. And I just don't even flinch. And so that like progression has just come from doing it over and over again. And even when it's hard, getting back up, even when it takes a long time.
I love that you said it's like a muscle, like that it basically, I think what you're saying is like, the more and more you exercise it, the more, the stronger it's going to get.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's so brilliant. Okay, so what was the failure? You have to tell us. So you called this factory to make what?
Oh, so I was making these pineapple plates and the plates encouraged healthy eating. So they were like, had a pineapple on them and the different areas. The pineapple was like a different food group following the USDA standards. So that was the first thing I created and they were a total flop. In fact, I still have like so many sets in my grandmother's garage. I spent $10,000 on them. I did not have the money. I had to waitress for like 6 months at school to save up and I still only saved up half. And then I borrowed the other half from my parents. It was like a whole year of failure and it was the best thing ever because I just kept going and learned so much.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So if you've ever said that about a failure of yours, like I worked my ass off and I failed and it was the best thing ever. Put a one in the comments. I want to know you've been there, done that too, because I can think back to some of like my greatest sales that I lost. And in the moment, you're devastated, right? Like, oh man, I just spent 6 months of my time working on that relationship, working on that sale. And then you think you have it in the bag or whatever. And then no, you know? And like, that was like everything you invested, everything into that. And I just remember like walking away from it, realizing like, wow, okay. So there's a lesson here and I need to find it. Like, where can I improve? And I think that's what makes the biggest difference between the entrepreneurs who become successful and those who decide to quit and go back to a day job is the ones who see failure as something that's like just so amazing that like we're like doing a little happy dance like, yes, I failed again. Yes, I failed again. So, and then you just keep going.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I feel like it's actually listening to the lessons because sometimes I get the, and this is in personal life too. Like I get the same lessons over and over again. I'm like, why didn't I listen the last time? And like changing your habits and like saying like, okay, how can I do this better next time? And if you don't, you're just going to keep failing until you listen.
So yeah. Totally. Okay. So your company is called Clarity and Action Consulting, right? So like, where does that come from? Talk to us about that.
Well, if you happen to be starting a business and trying to name a company, what I recommend is talking to your potential customers and clients and finding out what they need. So I did a ton of market research. I just talked to as many people as I could about, you know, do you want to start a business or do you have a business? And what are your biggest challenges? And those two words I heard over and over and over again. I actually created like a huge spreadsheet of like all the words I heard and those were mentioned most often. And I found that it's really ironic because people think that they need clarity and then they're going to take action. But as Marie Forleo says, clarity comes from action, not thought. So they're really symbiotic, and like all of their answers come from the action steps. But the clarity itself in where you want to go and what your dreams are and dreaming bigger is so important before you take the action steps. So it's like this mutually beneficial relationship where we're constantly needing both. And no matter how far along we are, as you know, it's like we think we have it all figured out. And then it's like you go to one conference and you're like, well, no, I got to change my whole business. Clarity all over again. And so I just found that that combination of having clarity and knowing the action steps you need to take makes a huge difference in building a business and having a plan you feel confident in.
Yeah, for sure. Have there been times where you're searching for the clarity, or you've worked with like a client who's searching for the clarity, but they haven't taken the action? Like, how do you get them there? What can our listeners do?
All the time. It's literally the most common thing I see. They're like, Jacqueline, I'm going to journal about it. And look, I love journaling. I love the brain dump. Like, get it out. Think about your feelings. But usually what it comes down to is they're confused. Whether it's, hey, I'm confused. Is this my passion or is this my passion? Do I want to launch this or do I want to launch this? Will people like this or will they like this more? Or, hey, I want to launch this, but I don't know if people will like it. At the end of the day, like journaling doesn't solve any of those problems. Mm-hmm. And so only like you have no choice. The only way to solve it is literally do something. Do anything and you'll learn. And like one of the analogies I've heard from a lot of business coaches in the past is like, try it on. And so I always picture myself like at Target bathing suit shopping, because that's like one of the only things that I try on because I'm really lazy outside of work because I work so hard. I'm like, okay, let's make personal life really easy. So a lot of times I'll just like buy clothes. I won't try them on. But bathing suits, like you have to try them on because you never know. Like, right? Does it look right? Do you even like that like pattern or whatever?
Yeah.
Think of it like, okay, I'm going to go to Target. I'm going to pick out a bathing suit and I'm going to try it on. And if I'm still unsure, I'm going to keep wearing it. Like I'm going to bring it home and then I try it on again in different lighting. And like, do I like it? And so I think that concept is really, really a good metaphor for like, if you're unsure. So like, if you are listening and you're either deciding between two things or like you have something in your head, but you're just like still confused about what are the action steps, know that you have to try something on to get started. So whether that's like, okay, I'm just going to pick one of the things I'm thinking about and try it, or I have this idea, I'm just going to try it, knowing that I can figure out how to make it successful by listening to what works and what doesn't and adapting and just be open to that. I think that it's just about knowing that there's no other way. So if you don't want to take the action step, just like give up on the goal. But if you are listening and you do want to achieve the goal, just do something. The first thing you think of, it doesn't even matter what you do. I think that's a misconception.
I think so many people would say to that, okay, but I can't just take action because I can't take the wrong action. Or I'm afraid that if I take action and it's the wrong action, then I've just invested the savings I've built up and my time and my energy into this thing. And I mean, let's be honest, most people have an ego and they don't want to fail. And so what would like to that person, what would you say? Like maybe they have a job and this is their side thing and they don't want to go all in, because going all in and taking that action is a risk, a huge risk.
Yeah. So here's what I would say to you. How bad do you care about the dream? Like how bad do you want it? Like if you actually want it and care about it that bad, then you're going to take the action and you're going to do it no matter how scary. And also if you have the right mindset. So if you understand that like there's no reason to be afraid of failure, because failure is the only thing that's going to help you be successful. You're not going to launch the perfect product. You're not going to launch the perfect service. It's going to have problems. People are going to tell you about it, or it's not going to sell at all. And you're going to realize you got to change something. And that's how you're going to fix it and make it better. So if you're listening and you're like, well, I'm scared to take the risk, or I'm scared to fail, or, you know, I don't want to take the wrong action. First of all, there is no wrong action. You just have to do something. Second, if you care about the dream enough, it's worth it. And I understand the fear and the risk that people have. I was very fortunate that I started my business when I was in college, because I had my parents supporting me. I was on a full scholarship. So I didn't have as many financial concerns. I still had some. I still needed a car and different things in my life. But I understand that fear at the same time, like what action can you do? It doesn't mean you have to like risk your whole family's future, but like, can you spend 30 minutes a day taking action steps? If you can commit to that, great, do that. Then like, how do you grow it from there? And just start where you are and do something.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. Okay. So you have a book coming out in a couple of hours. Is that right? This is so coincidental, because we were just chatting on Instagram and I was like, hey, you should come on my podcast. Like, this week. And you're like, okay, sure. And then you're like, by the way, I have this book dropping in like a couple of hours. Like, what? So what is it?
So I have it right here. It's called Stop Getting in Your Own Way.
Oh, it looks beautiful. And people do judge a book by its cover.
They do. And I hope you like it. It's totally my style. So if you like the cover, you'll like me. The subtitle is A No BS Guide to Creating the Business of Your Dreams. So it's a cop, ironically, as or non-ironically, depending on the way you look at it. Part one is called Clarity and part two is called Action. And every chapter is something you need to stop doing. So some of my favorite chapters are Stop Saying Money Doesn't Grow on Trees. Stop Working 80-Hour Weeks. Stop trying to control the how and stop underestimating the power of your mind. There's a lot of really good tools in here. And according to my mother, who does not own a business, it's good for anyone. So even if you don't yet own a business and you're listening, it can just help change your life. I'm really excited. It has a lot of really, really good stories in it. And
oh, that's so awesome. We'll definitely link to this in the show notes. Is it on Amazon or where's the best place to get it?
Amazon. So I'll send you the link once it goes live and we can link to it in the show notes.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So tell me, like, dig into one of those. Which is your favorite one or the one that you think everyone needs to stop doing right now?
The money one. Stop saying money doesn't grow on trees. And that
it doesn't?
It's growing. That one, I unpack like lots of money sayings from your childhood or things that are just common in society and why they're so freaking limiting. And I have this like no list of phrases you're not supposed to say about money. And I think it's just really fun. So I would love to unpack that a little bit.
So when we were growing up, my parents used to say, but money doesn't grow on trees. And I'm like, it doesn't. Like, I was convinced somehow, like, it didn't for other people, but that for us, like, it did. Like, there was a secret money tree that they weren't telling me about. Like, I didn't, like, when they would tell me that, it literally wouldn't register. Like, I would be like, but ours is secret back there, right? Like, I literally thought there was something they were hiding from me. And then for one of my grandpa's birthdays, I think it was like his, I don't know, maybe his 60th birthday or something. Someone actually gave him a money tree where they took like all these, like it was like a thing of branches and coming off of the branches were dollar bills. And so it was like hanging money. And I was like, see, there are money trees. It like just further created this evidence for me that like it actually existed. And so I never bought into that, which I'm really lucky because most people do buy into that. Clearly there was no money tree in our backyard, but like, what's the significance of believing that? Where are you going with that?
Yeah. So I love that story too. I used to say that to my parents. I'd be like, but dad, money is paper and paper comes from tree. And like, he'd be like, shut up. Like this is what we have to do with. But there's really a lot of significance behind it. It resonates in the fact that if you believe that like money doesn't grow on trees, somewhere inside of you, you think that you have to work really hard to make money. And so while money doesn't actually grow on trees, like I want you to think of it as it does. Like money is everywhere all the time. It is so abundant. There is so much money out there and it's just waiting for someone to take it. So if you are a good person and you want to use that money to better your family's life, the thing I said in my bio, I'm so passionate about this. Like it can change your family's life. It can change your community. It can change the world. Money is awesome. I want more women to just own it, claim it, want it. Like I'm going to be a billionaire. I say this 24.
Yes.
And I want more women to just confidently like think that and feel that way. So anyways, with the money doesn't grow on trees thing, it's like if you really think that you have to work really hard to make money, then you're never going to be financially successful or you'll be capped because there's only so many hours in a day and you have such a limiting money mindset. There's a lot of sayings that are similar to that. So like another day, another dollar is another one. That my mom always said, she'd be like, time to work, another day, another dollar. And, but no, the dollars can come in when you're sleeping, right? So I think it's just reframing like your relationship with money and the way you think it comes. And for me, I have a lot of personal experiences with burnout that were pretty bad where like I attributed hard work to success. And that was because truly in my childhood, I achieved things from working hard. And so I had this proof in my life. I study hard, I get an A on the test. That's how I got into Georgetown. Like, I did all the right things. Mm-hmm. And then when I started building a business, it was like, okay, all I have to do to build a $1 million company is work more hard, and then I'll be more successful. But that's just not how it works. And like, I would wake up with like such bad burnout. My legs would feel so heavy. Like, I couldn't get out of bed in the morning, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, like I genuinely want to work on my business, but I was just like so exhausted. And I didn't understand that like, that's not the path. Like, there has to be strategy. There has to be mindset. There has to be a lot more going on to build millions of dollars. And that shift and like letting go of the idea that hustle is the answer has been transformational for me and has been like the reason I've hit my goals this year.
Wow, that's so cool. So it sounds like, I'm assuming this, so correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you're working less hard and making more money.
So true. I commit to not working more than 40 hours. And that's something that like has been amazing. And eventually I want to just keep shrinking that more and more.
Very cool. So it's interesting to me how that saying, like, money doesn't grow on trees, or another day or another dollar. There's so many of those, right? We don't even realize how much they're impacting us and how much when we say them, if we have kids, they're impacting our kids. Like, we don't even realize the mindset that comes along with that, because that immediately sends this signal that money is limited.
Yes.
And I don't think that when someone says like, oh, money doesn't grow on trees, they're just saying like, well, man, I work really hard for my money, and like, I'm going to watch my dollars because I don't know where my next dollar is necessarily coming from. And as entrepreneurs, or at least successful entrepreneurs, don't carry forth that mindset. Like, some of the work I think that we've both done is to actually identify those beliefs and then realize like, well, oh shit, that's the wrong belief to have around money. Like, money has to be everywhere. Money has to be free flowing to me, and it's abundant, and we can't be scared, and like, because those fear things, they eat up our mind.
Yeah. And it's really crazy to think back on like your childhood and like things you remember, or even things you don't remember, but maybe you think happened, like, and to see the way it really does impact your bank account today. Like, one thing I like is like, look at your bank account. If you're not happy with the dollars in your bank account, you need to work on this. Like,
yes.
That's where it all goes back to. And so much of that mindset is formed in childhood between birth and 7 years old, when your subconscious mind forms. So that is a big part of it. And if that's something that speaks to you, I definitely recommend you start unpacking like, what are the beliefs? What are the sayings? What are the experiences? And how can you change them and form new ones?
Oh, that's awesome. I remember, and I think that like that kind of limiting mindset carries over not just from money, but to other things. And maybe that's what you talk about in your book. But I remember I was at a networking event once where I was a member, and someone stood up and did the exact same thing as I did, and he was a guest. And so oftentimes when in the networking meeting that I was in, like, your seat is quote unquote protected. So he shouldn't have been allowed to deliver the commercial he delivered. So he stands up, and, you know, I was teaching sales to corporations at the time. And he says something like, hey, everybody, I'm the samurai of sales, and I do X, Y, Z. And people are like gasping, like, you know, like, that's what Jen does, right? And people came over, and I was just like playing it cool. I went over, introduced myself to him later on. I'm like, hey, how's it going, buddy? Nice commercial, like, cool, whatever. And a few people in that room came over to me, and they were like, oh my God, you must be so mad. And I was like, why? Like, I didn't understand, like, why would I be mad? Like, we just had a meeting. It was fun. I love our meetings. And they're like, well, the samurai of sales competes with you. And what if he gets business from people in the room? I'm like, oh, you know, I didn't think of that. If he gets business, though, from people that I've been networking with every single week for the past 2 years, I guess I haven't done a really good job of connecting with people in the room. And if they'd rather work with him, that's totally cool. Like, there's someone for everyone, and my style is not for everyone. And the people I said that to, like, because that was legit my heartfelt response, they were just like, oh, So you're not, you don't feel threatened? And I was like, no, there's plenty of money to go around. There's plenty of customers to go around. I might even refer people to him that don't work, that won't work well with me. And like, it was a true realization for me of like, wow, not everyone has this abundance mindset.
So good. And honestly, I'll admit, like, I've struggled with it before, like, especially going into like a competitive industry, like, it's scary to be like, wow, there are so many of me. Then realizing, like you said, not everyone fits with you. That's something I realized, like, as I would talk to people and get on calls, and when I was first getting started, people would tell me, like, oh, I really like your energy. There's something about it. To the point where I had multiple people who didn't actually want to work with me, but like wanted to like almost like be my friend. Like, can I mentor you? Or like, can I work for you? And I'm like, what? Like, we all emit this like vibe. And yes, if vibe goes with your vibe, like, we're going to make magic. And like, knowing that mine is unique and different from everyone else's, and then having really good branding to actually like, that's why I talked about my cover. Like, everything I do, like, I try to emulate my vibe, and that's huge. And if you can like fully just hone in on the fact that like there's no competition, because no one is like you and no one does exactly what you do, even though it's hard, even though it's scary, it's like, wow, it's just magical.
Boom, mic drop. I love that. All right. So in addition to helping female entrepreneurs, you do a lot of talks around, where is it, like college campuses, or where do you speak?
Yeah. So I used to speak primarily on college campuses, just about following your dreams and empowerment. But as I've really gotten into like female entrepreneurs, I still speak at colleges, but at entrepreneurship centers and more like women's conferences and business conferences.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. And when we were together in California, because we met at a coaching event, you were telling me about one of the speeches you were giving. And I was just sitting there like in awe listening to this story, like, oh my God, she's amazing. Would you share that story?
Yeah, I love this story. And I think it's a really good example of how you have something that you're really good at and you should lean into that, whatever that is. And sometimes we tend to like think we need to like create something and reinvent the wheel, but usually it's already inside of you. And that's kind of how speaking has always been for me. Now I'll take you back a little bit, because I don't want you to feel, I think whenever I tell stories, people like compare themselves to me. Like sometimes my clients, I'll be like, well, why'd you set that goal? And they'll be like, because you did that. And I'm like, yeah, I did that after 3.5 years. And like, they did it. They thought that they were going to get that goal in a month. So I'm going to take you back a little bit before I tell the story of like when I first started speaking. Sure, it came pretty naturally to me in the sense that like I was comfortable in front of a room. I liked talking and sharing stories, but it wasn't like I was good. You know, like I would get up there and I would say like, I would say I would fumble on slides if I had them. I wasn't by any means perfect, but it was something that I liked and came naturally to me in a sense. So I kept doing it. I practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. My first speech was in my first 6 months of business. So it was over.
Wow.
So, I mean, I've been speaking for a long time now. So anyways, the story I told Jen was a couple weeks ago, I had agreed to a speech that I was actually like donating my time for this really great nonprofit. And I had agreed to but like months earlier, I had it marked on my calendar. And if you're an entrepreneur, you know, like the calendar gets crazy, things go out the window, you forget to check it. And especially now that I've been like committed to working 40 hours, I tend to not like use my phone that much on the weekends, especially for work stuff. So I won't like check my calendar on Sunday. So this speech happened to be on a Sunday night, and I'm literally having dinner with my parents, and I get a text from the girl who organized this and said, let me know when you're in the parking lot. And I look at it and I'm like, oh God, I forgot about the speech. So, luckily, it was like close-ish to where I live. It was like 20 minutes. And my dad was actually planning on going with me. So I'm like, Dad, we got to go now. And he's like, right? And I'm like, now, like I was supposed to be there in 5 minutes and it was going to take 20 minutes to drive. Right. So I'm like, crap. Meanwhile, I hadn't like prepped the speech yet because I planned on prepping it like that day. And I thought I would like leave time for it that day, but it all went out the window when I forgot about it. So my dad like runs in the car and I ran upstairs. I put on a dress. Thank God I have like speaking clothes like ready. And grabbed my makeup for the car. And so my dad drove really fast. Luckily, we didn't get a ticket. And while he was driving, I was doing my makeup. So it maybe took us like 15 minutes to get there. So now I'm like 10 minutes late, which isn't like so bad. I'm like, sorry, there was a lot of traffic on a Sunday night. So now we're good. We're there. Like we're in the parking lot about to go in. And I'm like, so relieved. And my dad's like, Jacqueline, what are you giving this speech on? I was like, I haven't quite figured that out yet. But I think I'll figure it out as I go. And he was mortified. Like, I think he was like very concerned that like it was going to be very embarrassing and like he would be really awkward. So I go in and like, I just literally get up there and I wing it. And after my speech, the program director came up to me and she was like, this was the best speech we've ever had here. This was amazing. The students were all coming up to me and like, wow, this was life changing. And my dad was like, that was the best speech I've ever seen you give. Like, how did you do that? And so it's a really cool story because two things. One, it didn't come overnight. So my first speech wasn't like that. And that's the whole failure thing again. Like, I literally remember being at a speech where I like missed a slide and like froze and was like, what do I do? Because it's
really awkward. And meanwhile, like no one knows you missed that slide. Only you know.
But I'm like, and so, you know, there were lots of really awkward, painful failures in the past. But at the same time, this story also shows that like, if you have something you're good at and that you love and you feel like you have some kind of zone of genius, because everyone does, like lean into that and do that. Like, I love speaking. Jen was like, what do you want to talk about? I was like, I don't know. I love talking. Like,
I love talking. It's all good. We're good.
How I feel. So like, find that thing for you. Know that it's still going to take practice and fine tuning to get really good. But if it feels like you're a little naturally talented at it or it's something you enjoy, like go all in on it.
That's so cool. I just love that. Like, I think what happened also was because you were thinking about so many other things. Like, I have to get my makeup done. I have to make sure my dress is right because I probably threw it on in like 1 second, like fix my hair or whatever. Okay, now what am I going to talk about? You didn't have any time in that 15-minute span to be nervous. Like, you know, and so you walked in there with total confidence and you just like crushed it. And I think the thing that we all see, because with Instagram and Facebook and all the social media platforms, people are always comparing themselves to someone else they feel is ahead of them, right? And so, oh, wow, she could just get up there and crush that talk and whatever, whatever. But what they're not seeing is like that moment of failure where you messed up the slide, okay? And you moved on, you got over it and you moved on and you kept going. And they're not seeing all those other little moments of failure that you don't let stop you. And I think that's like the crazy thing in today's world is so many people are looking up to these 6 and 7 figure entrepreneurs as if they like showed up out of nowhere and on day one, everything was perfect.
Yeah. I mean, I love the piece you said about also like not having fear. Cause I think like, yes, it's the thing that holds us back. And because I didn't have time for it, like that went out the window. And the comparison thing is huge. And I remember like myself doing it so much. Like I want to be right. Like, how can I do that? But it just doesn't work that way. We all are going to have the times where nobody wanted my plates or the slide messed up or, you know, I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and this could get really embarrassing.
Do you remember your first talk? Like, was it?
Oh God. Do I remember my first talk? Yeah, I remember it. Sorority. It was unpaid. My first like 60 talks were unpaid. Also like side note, like it's not always like, oh, I'm going to make like hundreds of thousands of dollars speaking, you know, like, and it was bad. I mean, I remember my mom went and she was like, I took some tallies of how many times you said like, and it was, you know, this,
there was a whole sheet and 5. And then she made the line through it.
And I was like, okay, I'll work on that. She was like, but overall good energy.
Oh, but that's so, okay. So that's so critical and often overlooked. Everyone needs someone like that. And I'm saying like in the right way in that sentence.
My mom has always been like hard on me. And not the kind of person to be like, you're so good at everything. And it's funny that ironic that today my book comes out because, so this is my second book. And my first book I wrote when I was in college. And the way I wrote it was I walked into my class my entrepreneurship class, and my professor was like, yeah, so I've been teaching entrepreneurship for many years and nobody ever starts the businesses and it's usually a waste of time. So I thought about quitting, but then the dean said, what can you do to teach entrepreneurship? And he was like, and I thought about it, and I talked to a lot of entrepreneurial friends, and we all thought writing a book would teach you entrepreneurship because you'd learn how to market it. You would have like a real product. And okay. I was like, I'm going to write a book. Meanwhile, I'm terrible at writing. I did not want to take any English classes and took like the easiest ones possible to get through them. So I call my mom right after and I'm like, Mom, I'm going to write a book. And she's like, really? Are you sure? Yeah. Like, it's like I told her I like wanted to be president or something. She was like, I don't know. Like, you sure? Like, writing, it's not really your thing. And it's funny because now I would consider myself like a natural writer and someone who likes to write. But it didn't always come easily to me. And it's like those people in your life that might kind of point out where you need to work on are really important to have, because you're not good at everything. And even when you get good, if you really want to be successful, like if you want to reach your full potential, you have to push yourself to be better, better, and better, and better every single day. And that's something that like, I'm so proud that this is my second book and that like my shitty writing became really good writing. And my next book's going to be even better writing.
Oh yeah. I look at my first articles that I wrote 5 years ago and I think, how did I put that out? Like, and even at the time I stressed about it, like I could feel it wasn't good enough, but I had to get it out. And I look at my first videos, and my first videos on YouTube are horrific. Like, please don't ever watch them. But I keep them up for posterity, because like I don't want people to think that I just showed up one day and I crushed the video game or I crushed the writing game. No, it took years of doing these things every single day to get good at them. And I'm sure the same for you. Like when you walked into that talk, it wasn't that you just all of a sudden were a really good speaker. It was that you had 60 hours of free talks under your belt. You had probably a couple hundred hours of paid talks under your belt. You had been doing this for who knows how long. And it was all of that experience and that failure and those learned lessons that led to that moment of, I got this.
Yes. I couldn't have put it better. It's that commitment and consistency to your goals, like every day.
Yes.
I like what you said about like your first stuff being really bad, because I think that if people are watching this and you struggle with perfectionism, which is another thing that I see like holds people back from taking that action. So yes. If you resonated with that earlier in the conversation, like this probably resonates with you right now. If you feel like you're a perfectionist and that's why you're not taking action, know that it's never going to get better until you first put something out there, and done is always better than perfect. So like put out there an imperfect thing on purpose and like,
yes,
let the feedback come in, because guess what? I've put out a lot of crappy things and people are like, this really helped me. And I'm like, wow, that looks like a really shitty design PDF, because I'm not a graphic designer and I didn't have any money to pay one, but it helped you. How nice. That's inspiring. Right. To keep putting crappy things out there that I don't think are good enough because they're changing people's lives or because they're getting me sales, right? Like it's this positive relationship of all these factors coming together, even when you put crappy things out there that aren't perfect.
Hell yeah. All right. Now you have your own podcast.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Where should people tune in? How should they find you?
You can tune in anywhere where you listen to a podcast, and it's called the Spark Your Light podcast.
Ooh, that totally has your vibe.
You see? It's all the brand.
Yes, it does. It does. Okay, cool. And on Instagram?
Jacqueline DiGregorio. I know
that. Okay, we'll put all your links in the show notes. This has been awesome. Thank you for joining me. I'm so excited to get this episode out into the world, because I feel like it's going to help so many people. And I mean, even if you walk away with one thing, I want you to screenshot this episode, share it on Instagram, tag me and Jacqueline, and tell her like the one thing that you're walking away from with, you know, in this episode, because Jacqueline just dropped a ton of knowledge bombs that were so awesome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's truly such an honor to be here with you. And I can't wait to hear people's takeaways.
Wow, that
was incredible. Jacqueline is so freaking awesome. We literally got on the Facebook Live because we recorded this on live. And I was like, so what do you want to talk about? She's like, whatever you want. I'm just ready to talk. And I'm like, okay. And so like most people when I interview them, well, a lot of people at least, they're super nervous. They need to know what we're going to talk about. And I just loved Jacqueline's confidence from the beginning. And she's exuding it through the speakerphone, isn't she? Like you can feel that she knows her shit, and you can feel that she's so passionate and so excited about what she's doing. I just love how we talked about at the very beginning, loving to fail. I heard a stat like people fail, I don't know, I think it was like 20% of the time. And then, you know, your success is correlated to that failure. So if you could actually fail, imagine if like, I'm making these numbers up right now, but imagine if you fail two times, that means you're gonna have six wins. Well, then I want to fail 20 times and have 60 wins every single time. I have no idea if that math adds up or not. But what I'm trying to say is the more you fail and the more you say, okay, I failed or this product didn't work or this idea didn't work. And now I'm going to turn that into a lesson and I'm going to figure out what the universe or God or whoever it is, the higher being that you believe in, what they wanted me to learn from this. And if you try to find the lesson every single time, you're gonna win so many more times than ever. And so going into 2020, I really challenge you to think about failing forward, to thinking about leaning into that failure so that you can learn. You don't learn from successes. Like, yeah, you're like, okay, that was successful. Let's debrief. Let's figure out like the things that went well in that sale or that relationship or whatever that business, you know, endeavor was. But really the bigger lessons, the biggest lessons come from failure. So my challenge to you is how can you take more risks? How can you put yourself out there more? How can you fail forward even more often? Because look at what Jacqueline did. Like, she wasn't afraid to fail. She took all the fear out of it and she just, you know, went on her way and flopped and said, oh, there's a lesson there. Let me take that one. Let me pick that lesson up. Let me pick that lesson up. So freaking amazing. You guys, make sure you follow Jacqueline on Instagram and take a screenshot of this podcast. Tag us both in it. Tell us what you thought. And her Instagram is Jacqueline D. Gregorio. We'll put it in the show notes so that you can tag her. But make sure you let her know because, you know, every guest that comes on the show, they're taking a few minutes out of their day. In her case, it's like an hour. They're taking time out of their day to be on this show, to spread some knowledge. They're not being paid to be on it. They're just doing this out of the goodness of their heart. So let them know how this has impacted you. Thanks so much. Now, here's the deal. This is Women Crush Wednesday, but I'm reminding you to get out there and crush it every day.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellerDieNetwork.com.